This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You heard some verses right now. Do you remember these ayat from our first lesson of Sirah class? What do these verses mean? Who do they talk about? The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And in these verses, we are told about who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Inna arsalnaka shahidan, we have sent you as a shahid, as a witness. Wa mubashiran wa nadhira, someone who brought good news and also warning. And then in the last ayah that we heard, we also learned wa bashiril mu'mineen, give good news to the believers. When is it that you're given good news? Good news means what? That you have been given something? Huh? When are you given good news? Think about it. Okay, when you've done something good, what is good news? Okay, some news that will make you very happy, and that when you're being given a gift, when you're being given a reward, what is that? It is good news. So give the believers good news that for them from Allah is a huge fadl, a huge bonus, a huge gift. And what is that gift? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you're given good news, do you feel happy? Do you feel happy? Okay. So next time inshallah when we hear these ayat, then show that happiness. Because Allah is giving us good news. And on receiving good news, we should show that we are happy. Right? So when we think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we are studying his life, when we are doing some homework related to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this should bring us stress or happiness? Happiness. Good. Okay, so let's begin our lesson. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So I had given you some homework. And what was that? Read something. Okay. You were asked to read a few pages of the book. All right. And why do you think I asked you to do that? To become familiar with what we are going to study today. Inshallah, when we are going to be in class, I am not going to read from the book. Okay? Because if I'm going to read from the book, you're going to fall asleep. Okay? So I want this session to be interactive, a session in which you are actively participating. And for that reason, you have to be prepared as well. I come prepared and you come prepared. You understand? Because all of us together are going to extract lessons from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the reason why I'm going to ask you to read certain pages before you come to class. Inshallah. And if you don't read those pages, then you will be lost in class. Okay? Because I'm not going to explain every story and go into the detail of every story. I'm not going to wait for you to write everything down because every major detail is written in the book. All right? So I'm going to be reviewing what you have read in the book and adding some more details, and together inshallah we will be extracting lessons. All right? So my job is to come and review with you, but your job is to read from before. Would you like it if I came to class unprepared? Would you like it?
No.
So likewise, I won't like it if you come to class unprepared. All right? So all of us have to do our part. Agreed? Inshallah. And I understand that you have daily homework, right? And I fully understand what you're going through. And I know that you have a life as well. All right, as a mother, as a daughter, you have other responsibilities. So inshallah, I'm not going to give you more than what I think you can do within a day or within a week. inshallah. All right? And you have a week in the middle as well. So during that time, you can do some reading. And this is also for another reason. And that is to develop the habit of reading. All right? Because you cannot continue to learn. You cannot excel unless and until you become a reader. So inshallah, this will be an excuse for us to develop this habit. Most of us think, oh, I love to read. Really? If I ask you, how many books did you read in the past few months? How many? Seriously, how many? Exactly, just a few pages, a few articles here and there, maybe half an article, quarter of an article, and then we got bored and we turned it off, right? We left it. So this is going to be an excuse for all of us to develop the habit of reading, because readers are leaders. Okay? Those who read, they are those who increase in their knowledge. Okay? So inshallah, we want to increase and grow in our knowledge. Inshallah. I also asked you to read one more thing. And what was that? It was a brochure about what different people have said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason why I asked you to do that was to become aware of how others also view Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by others, I don't mean the common masses. I mean historians, people of knowledge, academics, philosophers and thinkers, all right? What do they think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And it really makes us realize how much awareness we need to spread about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we study, inshallah, we will inshallah try our best to increase in our knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also spread this knowledge, spread this awareness. Okay? So this time I asked you to read something besides the book. Now inshallah you will be asked to share something as well. Inshallah. So anyway, let's begin our lesson for today. You all have the handout? If you were to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one word, what word would you use? Rahmah, mercy. Hero, good. What else? Teacher, successful. The greatest man on the earth. Leader. Okay, Quran. Well-wisher. Guide. Mentor. Messenger. Ameen. Trustworthy. Perfect example. Most superior man on earth. Okay. Intelligent and wise. Okay. How about my beloved? Habibi. Because there are many people whom when we think about, we think of them with a lot of love and affection. And out of all the people who deserve our affection and love and respect is who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this love, this attachment has to be there. Because who is it that we idealize? Who is it that we look up to? Who is it that we respect? Those that we love. Who do we follow? Who do we emulate? Whose word do we take? Whose request we never refuse? The one whom we love. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the first things that should come to your mind, the man whom I love. The leader, the teacher, whom I love and respect. Because he was a beloved of Allah. So when we ask Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I ask you for your love. Wa hubba, and the love of man yuhibbuk. Of the one whom you love. Allah loves his messenger. He loves him. And as you study the Quran, you will realize this very clearly. How much Allah loves his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So shouldn't we love the beloved of Allah? How do we get that love? One is the step that we're taking here. Learn about him. And another is we ask Allah to grant his love to us. Because you know, hub, love is also rizq. It is also granted. It is also provision. Like the Prophet ﷺ used to say about Khadija radhiallahu anha, إِنِّي قَدْ رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا. I have been given her love. I have been granted her love. Love for her has been given to me as rizq. It's given to me. I can't get over it. I can't leave it. Even though Khadija radhiallahu anha died, and the Prophet ﷺ spent many years without her, but he would keep remembering her and keep mentioning her, to the point that Aisha radhiallahu anha would feel jealous. And she would say, Allah has given you a better wife, young and more beautiful and everything. But the Prophet ﷺ still loved Khadija radhiallahu anha, because he was given that rizq. He was given that provision of love for Khadija. So we ask Allah to grant us all this noble rizq also. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one whom you love, you always mention them in positive terms. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever his name is mentioned, what is the etiquette? Say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You don't have to say it out loud every time. You can say it softly. But my dear sisters, don't forget to say that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran to send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, when we love someone, we want to know about their background also. Where did they come from? What are their roots? What's their ethnicity? Which country do they come from? Whose children are they? Which family do they belong to? So on and so forth. And when the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is studied, and especially his birth, then the context in which he was born in is also studied. So this means that we have to look into the state of the Arabs if we want to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his background. So studying the Arab history, a little bit about it, this is part of studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we cannot cut the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam off from the place and the people that he was born into. We cannot remove him from that context. You have to know the context also. Because why did Allah choose that his final messenger should be an Arab and not somewhere else? Why did Allah decide that Makkah, the Kaaba, should be in Arabia? And why is it that Allah decided that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should come at that point in time, at that place, amongst those people? There is a reason. Right? So this is the reason why we have to look into a little background about the Arabs also. Now, one thing, the Arabs, unfortunately, of Jahiliyyah are heavily criticized. Alright? And a very bad image is portrayed. Generally, when we talk about the Arabs of Jahiliyyah, we think of things like, oh, they used to kill their babies, and they would keep many wives, and they would torture their slaves, and they were a very savage nation. Right? And the purpose of this is to show that the Prophet ﷺ, he came and he was a savior of humanity. But this methodology is incorrect, because the Prophet ﷺ is still the savior of humanity. He is still the best of all men, even if the Arabs were good. You understand? It doesn't matter whether the Arabs were good people or bad people. The Prophet ﷺ is good and perfect and excellent because of who he is. Not because he came from a very savage background. Not at all. So we don't try to highlight the personality of the Prophet ﷺ by portraying the Arabs as very bad people. No. The Arabs, yes, they had many problems amongst them. But at the same time, they also had many good qualities that we cannot overlook. We cannot ignore. Remember that the Arabs, there were some poor tribes amongst them who used to practice female infanticide, who used to kill their daughters. Not every tribe did that. And why is it that those people killed their daughters? Out of fear of poverty. Likewise, we see that it was only the tribal chiefs or the very rich men who had multiple wives. Every single man in Arabia did not have multiple wives. All right. Likewise, they were a warring nation. They used to battle a lot. But they also made alliances. They also made pacts. And they also kept true to their word. We see that honesty and fulfillment of promises was considered a great virtue amongst those people. Truthfulness was a great virtue. We see that some people killed their children, but there were also others who rescued children. There were people that were very promiscuous, very shameless. There were prostitutes and such. However, there were also people who were very modest, who had a lot of haya, they were bashful. And we see that the Arabs, they were a very generous people. They were hospitable. After all, they were the caretakers of the Kaaba, the hosts of the pilgrims, of all the people who came to perform Hajj in Mecca. And remember that Hajj was performed since after the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Hajj was performed even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And the pilgrims would come from all over the Hijaz. And who was their host? It was the people of Mecca. It was the Arabs. And they were very generous to them. So we see that this is the case with many non-Muslim societies, that where there is evil in them, there is also good in them. And we have to be fair. we cannot overlook the good qualities amongst them. You know, generally we see that, oh, a certain group of people, because they're non-Muslim or because they do shirk or because they have this and this bad practice, they are terrible. They're terrible. So overlook every good quality in them. This is not the correct approach. We have to be fair and just. So we see that the Arabs, yes, they possessed many bad traits, but they were also very brave, very courageous, strong-bodied, very patient, because life in the desert is not easy. Very patient and tolerant and strong people. And the Prophet ﷺ was an Arab, and Allah caused him to be born from the descendants of Ibrahim ﷺ in Mecca. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ was born 2,500 years after Ibrahim ﷺ. So there was over 2,000 years between Ibrahim ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ. Now, who were the Arabs? Where did they come from? How did they come into the Hijaz? History tells us that there were three kinds of Arabs. You can divide the Arab people into three categories. All right, and Arabs are who? People who live in the Arab Peninsula. If you look at page number 4 of your notes, you'll see a map at the bottom. And you see Saudi Arabia. So this entire area, Saudi Arabia with Yemen in the south and Oman also, this entire area is known as the Hijaz. All right, what is it known as? Hijaz. So in this area, we see that there were three kinds of people. Or you can say that the people who lived here, you can categorize them into three groups. One is, the first category is Al-Arabul Ba'ida. Ba'ida means extinct. Meaning those people who lived here once upon a time, but they finished. They ceased to exist. All right? Those populations, they were finished completely. We see those, their ruins, their homes, but we don't see those people anymore. And there are no people who trace their lineage back to those tribes. They have gone completely extinct. And who are these people? They're people of Ad, people of Thamud. They're mentioned in the Quran. And the people of Thamud, they were in the south of the Hijaz. Okay? Close to the border of Yemen and Oman. This is where the Thamud used to live. And the Ad were also nearby. And these are the earliest civilizations of humanity that lived in the Arabian Peninsula. All right? Pre-Islam by thousands and thousands of years. Now the second category of people who live in the Arab Peninsula, who are they? Al-Arabul Baqiyah. Baqiyah. What does that mean? Those that remain. So the Ba'idah, ancient people who lived once upon a time, now extinct. No traces of them. Baqiyah are those that still remain. And these are further divided into two categories. One is Al-Arabul Aribah. Al-Arabul Aribah means original Arabs. Original Arabs. Who are they? These are known as the Qahtan. Alright, the Qahtan. Now, Qahtan was actually the name of a man. He was a man from the descendants of Nuh alayhi salam. Alright, he was a descendant of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam, it is said that he had three sons. And you remember that at the time of Nuh alayhi salam, what happened? Huge flood. All people finished. All right, and only a few people survived with Nuh alayhi salam. It is said that there were only about 80 people who believed in him. All right, and the people who did live on afterwards, the future generations, they were primarily the descendants of Nuh alayhi salam. It is said that Nuh alayhi salam, he had three sons, and one of them was Sam. All right, and the different people that come from the son of Nuh alayhi salam, Sam, they are known as the Semites. So of his descendants was Qahtan. Now Qahtan, his son, his name was Ya'rib or Ya'rab. Does that resemble any word? What? Arab. Ya'rib, Ya'rab, Arab. Alright? So this man, he came into the area of Hijaz. Alright? He came in the area of Hijaz and he lived there. So Qahtan, he is considered the father of the Arabs. Now, where exactly did they live? They inhabited the southern part of Arabia. All right, the southern part of the Hijaz. So if you look at the map, the southern part of it, this is where they used to live. And in history, we learn about many different nations and tribes. For example, the people of Saba. Have you heard? The people of Saba, right? Likewise, the tribe of Jurhum. Likewise, the Aus and the Khazraj. All right? They were all Qahtanis. They all traced their roots back to who? Qahtan. All right? And these people are known as Arabul Ariba. Also the Ghassanids. Ghassanids. Inshallah, you will learn about them when you study Surah At-Tawbah. Actually, before that, inshallah, when we are studying the seerah, we will learn about the Ghassanids. All right? So, they are all known as Arabul Ariba. Why? Original Arabs. They were the first ones to inhabit this place. And the language, the Arabic language, is traced back to them. The Arabic language is traced back to who? The Qahtanis. All right? Now, where did they come from into the Hijaz? Because you wonder, they came into the Hijaz, where did they come from? It is said that they came into the Hijaz from Yemen. Now, where is Yemen? Look at the map. South, all the way at the bottom. And if you look to the left of Yemen, what do you see? Water, the Red Sea. If you look to the bottom, what is there? Arabian Sea. All right? Now, remember that if you look at the Hijaz, it is completely separate from the rest of the world. How? That there's water all around it. You understand? There's water all around it. So it wasn't like people could easily travel to Hijaz. So they came into the Hijaz from where? Through water. So it shows that they came in for the purpose of trade, some business. All right? So we see that there were some communities that had settled in Yemen. And they had come from where? From Africa. Because to the left of Hijaz is Africa. You see Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia. This is Africa. So they came in to Yemen. And from Yemen, remember that Yemen, ancient communities lived over here. Ancient. Even before Hijaz was populated, Yemen was populated. And the populations that came into the Hijaz primarily, they came in from Yemen. Because remember that the Hijaz is all desert. All right? And people came into Yemen for the purpose of, seeking livelihood and so on and so forth. Now remember that in Yemen, there was a huge flood once upon a time. I'm not going to go into dates, into details. There was a huge flood. Saylul Arim. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Now when that happened, this place became unlivable. Nobody could live there anymore. So people went out looking for other places where they could live. So this is how the Qahtanis moved from Yemen into Hijaz. You understand? Into Hijaz. So wherever they found a good place to live, that's where they began to live. So these are the Arabul Ariba. This is how they spread over the Hijaz. Now there is another group of the Arabul Baqiyah, which is known as the Arabul Musta'riba. Who are the Musta'riba? The people who became Arabs. Meaning they were not originally Arab, they became Arab. And these are known as the Adnan. Who? Adnan. Who are the Arabul Ariba? Qahtan. Who are the Arabul Musta'riba? Adnan. Now who are the Adnanis? The Adnanis came much after the Qahtanis. Okay, Qahtan were the first ones to settle in Hijaz and inhabit that area. Okay, so who are the Adnanis that came much later? Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam. By the way, on page number 3, do you see this chart of the prophets? So you see Ibrahim alayhi salam? Alright, so Ibrahim alayhi salam, you see his son Ismail and Ishaq? So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a non-Arab. He was not an Arab. Where was he from? Iraq. Specifically, Ur. Alright? And where is Ur? Ur is in the north of Persian Gulf by Euphrates River. So look at your map. Look at Iraq. You see the Euphrates River? Very tiny. In Iraq. Do you see it? But if you look at the map of Iraq, All right? And you'll see Euphrates River towards the bottom. Right? So, close to that is a city of Ur. Close to the Euphrates River is where? Is what? The city of Ur. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you remember his story. How he did da'wah to his family. He asked his father, why do you worship these idols? And what did his father say? If you don't stop telling me, I'm going to stone you to death. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't stop. What happened? They built a huge fire for him and they threw him into the fire. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam left his people. Right? He did hijrah. When he left Ur, who was with him? Lut alayhi salam, who was his nephew, who believed in him. And also Sarah, his wife. Now, these three, they left Iraq and they went to Harran and they traveled far and wide for the purpose of doing da'wah. And they went all the way to Egypt also. So if you look at the distance between Iraq and Egypt, imagine somebody traveling by foot. Subhanallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam traveled all the way to Egypt also in order to do da'wah. He encountered Nimrud, he encountered many people. So anyway, in Egypt what happened was that Sarah, she was captured by the king. All right, she was captured by the king. She was very beautiful and the king wanted to do harm to her. He wanted to sexually assault her. But what happened? Sarah, she prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah saved her. And the king, he was not able to do any harm to her. And he realized that this woman is extraordinary. There's something special about her. Because his body froze. It became paralyzed when he tried to harm her. So he let Sarah go. But when he let Sarah go, he also gave her a gift. And what was that gift? Hajar. All right? It is said that Hajar was actually the daughter of that king. She was the daughter of the king. And others said that no, she was not the daughter of the king. She was just a slave. She was given as a gift to Sarah. Now, Sarah and Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were married and they did not have any children. And anyway, they went, all three of them, they went to Philistine and that is where they settled. Lut alayhi salam, he was sent to the towns of Sodom to do da'wah over there. He was sent as a prophet over there, Sodom and Gomorrah. All right? And Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah and Hajar, they came to Philistine. Sarah loved her husband. And she saw that he did not have any children. She did not have any children. And she wanted him to have children. So she gifted Hajar to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hajar had a baby and the baby's name was Ismail. Sarah, as happy as she was for her husband, she was a human being and she was jealous and she could not tolerate Hajar anymore. It was very difficult for her to bear someone else with her husband. So, at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam had to take Hajar and Ismail. Where? All the way to Mecca. I want you to look at the map again. Look at where Philistine is and look at where Mecca is. Mecca is like the heart of Hijaz. It's in the middle. Literally like the heart because it's also on the left side. They traveled all the way to Mecca. And Ibrahim a.s. was instructed to leave Hajar and Ismail in Mecca. Who lived in Mecca at that time? Nobody, not a soul. Nobody. There were no people. No Qahtanis lived over here at that point. And Ibrahim a.s., as he left her and he was walking away, Hajar asked him why he was doing that. He was quiet. She asked, Allahu amarana bihada? Has Allah commanded us to do this? Our family to do this? That you should leave us here and go back? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Na'am. It is said that Hajar, she replied, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. If Allah ordered this, then Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best one to rely upon. Or she said, Idhan la yudayyi'ana Allah. Then Allah will never waste us. And so it happened. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her Zamzam. Remember the story of Zamzam? How Ismail was thirsty, he was crying, and Hajar ran back and forth between Safa and Marwa looking for water, but she couldn't find anything, nothing at all. And when she returned, what did she find? Water flowing from the ground. And this water of Zamzam, the Prophet ﷺ said it would have been a flowing stream, but Hajar was afraid that if this water is coming out of the ground, and if it's spreading, it's going to dry up. So she built like a small wall around it in order to contain the water. So Zamzam became a well. And Zamzam means to stop, stop. Meaning she didn't want the water to spread and dry up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her Zamzam. And remember that this Zamzam is the best water. And you can realize how excellent this water is, that when we learned that when Jibreel came to wash the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, which water was brought? Zamzam. The bowl was from Jannah. It was from up there. Alright? Everything else was from up there. But the water with which the heart of the Prophet ﷺ was washed, that was Zamzam. This shows to us how pure, how excellent, how beautiful, how beneficial that water is. So anyway, this was given to her. And secondly, because there was Zamzam, there was water in Makkah, wherever there's water, then what will follow next? Life. Right? So we see that the tribe of Jurhum, who were they? They were from Yemen. They were the Qahtanis. What happened? There was a flood. They wanted to leave. All right? And they were looking somewhere to settle. So they came and they settled in Makkah. They came, they found water. They asked Hajar, may we use this water with you? She said, yes, you may use it, but remember, this is mine. You cannot take ownership of this. I rule here still. This water is mine. So anyway, the Jurhum came and settled in Makkah. And remember, the Jurhum are who? The Qahtanis. Now, Ismail alayhi salam, he grew up amongst the Jurhum. And when he grew up, he married into the Jurhum also. His children and their children and their children, they were all known as the Banu Ismail. They traced their lineage to who? Ismail alayhi salam. From the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam was a man known as Adnan. There were approximately 7 to 10 generations between Adnan and Ismail alayhi salam. So Adnan, the people who traced their lineage back to Adnan, who traced their lineage back to Ismail alayhi salam, in other words, the children of Ismail, who were they? Adnanis. They were not originally Arabs, but they became Arabs. So you understand how they became Arabs? Because they lived in Arabia. They married into the Qahtanis, so they became Arabs. Now remember that being from the children of Ismail alayhi salam was considered very noble in that society. There were many tribes that were Adnanis, and the best of them you can say was the Quraysh. Who were the Quraysh? The tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is said that Adnan was the 20th grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 20th. Alright? And then 7 to 10 people between Adnan and Ismail alayhi salam. Now, what do we learn from this? So far, what you have learned? What do you learn? Anything from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Story of Hajar? You see how an entire nation came about? From who? The sacrifice of one woman. And this woman, firstly, she's making a huge sacrifice. She's living all by herself with her baby in the middle of nowhere without her husband. Single mother. All right? And then on top of that, she was made to be in that situation apparently because of the jealousy of someone. Right? Now, who was jealous? Sarah. Jealousy is natural because we are human beings. It happens. Just because someone feels jealous, that doesn't mean they're very evil. To act on that jealousy, that is wrong. Jealousy is natural. And remember that if someone is ever jealous of you, then what should you do? Be patient and ignore that jealousy. Because understand that this is a natural human emotion. It's a natural human feeling. It happens. And if because of someone's jealousy, you are evicted from your home even, and you are made to live in the middle of a desert, and you accept your fate while relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being patient for His sake and accepting His decree, and you say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Allah is sufficient for me, even when people are envious and they want to take good away from me. But Allah is enough for me. When the doors of this world are closed upon you, then remember that Allah, He can cause Zamzam to flow from beneath your feet. He can give you rizq, He can give you provision from where? مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ, from beneath your feet. Because the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give to His slaves, no one can withhold them. No one can. If Allah decides to give you something, no one can stop that from you. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayta. Oh Allah, no one can stop that which you give, which you decide to give. Because inna al-fadla biyadillah. Bounty, grace, gifts, they're in whose hands? Allah's hand. He gives. And we also see over here that when there is jealousy, ill feelings between people, then avoid confrontation. You see Hajar, she was made to go. Don't confront the other person. Avoid it. Because you can't cure their heart. What do you know? Even they cannot fix it. Even they're having a hard time with themselves. So give them space. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sarah a child also. Ishaq was born 13 years later in Palestine. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he settled Ismail in Makkah, remember that he made a dua. He made a dua when he left Ismail alayhi salam in Makkah. Let's listen to that dua.
رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
In Surah Ibrahim, Ayah 34-36, we learn, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. He said, Oh my Lord, make this city secure, meaning Makkah, make it secure, and keep me and my children away from worshipping idols. Oh my Lord, indeed these idols have led astray many among the people. So whoever follows me, then he is off me. And whoever disobeys me, then indeed you are forgiving and merciful. He said, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, O my Lord, I have settled some of my children in an uncultivated valley near your sacred house, our Lord, so that they may establish the prayer. So make the hearts of people inclined toward them and provide for them from the fruits so that they may be grateful. Ibrahim a.s. made dua, basically that Makkah should become inhabited. And that barren valley where there were no crops, no houses, no water even. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that place so busy. Allah inhabited that place. So much so that if you go today, you don't know where to sit even. You can't find a spot for yourself. Just imagine, that place was completely barren once upon a time. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he built the Kaaba with his son Ismail. Because remember that Ibrahim alayhi salam came multiple times to Makkah. He visited. All right, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, he made a dua. He said, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Oh my Lord, send a messenger among them. That messenger, يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ, who will recite unto them your verses. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And a messenger who will teach the people your book, who will teach them wisdom, and who will also purify them. Ibrahim alayhi salam made a dua. And his dua was answered. But after a couple thousand years. Then we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, he also announced the Hajj. In the Quran we learn, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Oh Ibrahim, proclaim to the people the Hajj. Make the announcement for Hajj. And imagine, Makkah is empty. Alright? And no people live nearby. Ibrahim alayhi salam went on to the hilltops, the mountains that were near. And he made the announcement for Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that voice to be heard. How? Allah, He does whatever He wishes. So people came to Makkah from various places in order to perform Hajj. And you see that Makkah, it's the heart of Arabia. Right? And we see that the people of Yemen, they traveled through the Hijaz all the way to Sham. What is Sham? In the north of Arabia. Syria, Israel, Jordan, this entire area, Palestine, all of this is what? A Sham. Alright? And over here we see that the people of Yemen traveled all the way to Asham, and the people of Asham also traveled all the way to Yemen. So Makkah was in the middle. They passed through Makkah. And the various tribes that lived in the area of Hijaz, they also came to Makkah. So we see that Makkah was in the trade route. And that is the reason why Makkah became even more and more inhabited. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, his son Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam, it is said that he had 12 children, 11 sons and one daughter. Some of them settled in Mecca and some of them went elsewhere. And Ismail alayhi salam, after him, we see that Jurhum, they basically ruled over Mecca. All right, people come for Hajj from various places. And who is it that hosts the Hujjaj? The Jurhum. All right. And this happened for about 2,000 years. How many years? About 2,000. In around 100 AD. All right. In around 100 AD. What happened? The Banu Khuza'a. Who were the Banu Khuza'a? They were from the descendants of Adnan. All right. They fought and they took over Mecca. When they took over Mecca, they basically evicted who? The Jurhum. They said to Jurhum, get out of here. We are taking over now. You are Qahtanis. You get out. You leave Mecca. So you see how? I mean, the Adnanis, they could never have grown had the Jurhum not been there. You understand? The Jurhum's ihsan on the Adnanis, but what did the Adnanis do? They evicted the Jurhum. So they said, get out of here. We're going to be the leaders. So they remained in Mecca. They began to lead. And these people, the Banu Khuza'a, they were the descendants of Amr bin Luhay. Amr bin Luhay, remember, he was the man who introduced idolatry in Mecca. All right? And from Mecca, idolatry spread all over Arabia. Because Mecca was a heart. And what comes to the heart spreads everywhere. So the Jurhum were evicted. The Adnanis remained in Mecca. And when the Jurhum left, they did something. What did they do? They buried the well of Zamzam. And there were some other valuables also. Gold and treasures and all of that. They put that in the well of Zamzam. They buried it. They hid it. And they left Mecca. Who took over? Banu Khuza'a. Alright? And the Banu Khuza'a, they ruled Mecca for about 300 years. And at this time, idolatry was rampant. Rampant. It spread everywhere. Now in 400 AD, we see that Qusay ibn Kilab, he was from the descendants of Quraysh, Banu Ismail. He took guardianship of Mecca. How? That Qusay, he was a Qurayshi. His father died when Qusay was still an infant. And what happened was that his mother, Qusay's mother, she married another man. And that man was from the tribe of Azra. She married into them and she moved with them. And they lived near Syria. So she left Mecca, she went to Syria and she lived over there. And who's with her? Her son, Qusay. Qusay grows up thinking that he is from Syria. There was a quarrel that broke out in the family. And they told him, you're not one of us anyway. You're an Arab, you're from Mecca. He said, what? I'm from there? He confronted his mother. She said, yes. He got so angry, he left everybody. He went back to Mecca. He came to Mecca. He lived there for some time. And then the leader of Mecca at that time, who was from the Banu Khuza'a, the chief of Mecca, Qusay married his daughter. All right. And Qusay, he was a very strong personality. And the leader, Hulayl, all right, he saw leadership qualities in Qusay. And when he died, before he died, he handed the keys of the Kaaba, all the authority that he had, to his daughter. And what that meant was that who's going to be the successor? Qusay. So Qusay, he became the leader of Mecca. And who was Qusay? He was from the Quraysh. All right. Now, Qusay, he had a lot of power. He's basically the guy who brought Quraysh to power. The Quraysh were settled around Mecca. He told them, come and live in Mecca. He built their houses near the Kaaba. They were scattered everywhere, and he brought the Quraysh together. All right. He ruled over Mecca as a king. He reconstructed the Kaaba. He made the Darun Nadwa, which was, you can say, was like a town hall where all the major meetings were held. The tribal chiefs met for important meetings. It was like a parliament. All right. And Qusay also generously served the Hujjaj. He established a system of playing host to the pilgrims. He served food and beverages, all right, to the Hujjaj. And the Quraysh, therefore, became the most respected Arab tribe in Arabia. The most respected Arab tribe and also the most respected Adnani tribe. Because what did they have? They had the power, but in addition to the power, what else did they have? Lineage. They were an Adnani tribe. They traced their lineage back to who? Back to who?
Ismail alayhi salam. So they had religious authority, political influence, they had the blood, they had everything. They were the most respected people in Makkah, all through the Hijaz even. And who was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Who was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? A Quraishi. Now you see why Allah chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be from the Quraysh? Now, with respect to the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inshallah we'll go over that tomorrow. Inshallah, if you did not do your homework yet, please, please, please do it. Alright? Because I saw some of you were trying to take notes. Good that you're taking notes, but when you're taking notes, then it makes me nervous that I have to slow down, and this is something that I cannot slow down in. If you look at your book, everything's there. Most of the stuff is there. Alright? Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك